You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction. The title of this episode is as misleading as the concept itself that you have an everyday life. You don't have an everyday life. I know that sounds weird, but what you actually have is a life one day at a time. Today isn't like yesterday, despite possibly the marked similarities, despite the fact that you think you're doing exactly the same job today as you were yesterday. Today is a unique day. It's a day you've never lived before, and it's a day you'll never live again. And there's a 96% chance that you're actually not living today either. That 96% chance relates to the fact that the vast majority of people on this planet, 96% to be precise, are living an illusion created by their thoughts. They actually assume that they have an everyday life. It isn't just that you don't have an everyday life and that you're living one day at a time. In actual reality, you're living one now at a time. Because we only exist in the now. Strange as it might seem, the universe only exists in the now. As I look out my window here and look at a very solid mass of rock, Mont Blanc, it looks very solid, it looks very real, it looks as if it's been there for a very long time. And geologically and historically and anthropologically, it has. But in actual fact, it, like you and me, is vibrating in and out of existence 20,000 times a second. It's a mass of energy, very solid energy in that case. Your body is a mass of energy too. The chair you're sitting on is energy. The air you're breathing is energy. Everything is energy flowing. Now, unfortunately, if you're one of those 96% of people who aren't living your day to day, you're like a rock in a fast flowing river. You're going nowhere and you're obstructing the flow for other people. And most importantly, obviously, you're stuck yourself. It's a phrase that I hear regularly. Oh my God, I'm stuck. I feel stuck. And of course, if you feel stuck, you are stuck in the same way as if you think you're stressed, even though neither of those two things is real. What is real is the breath that you're taking now and what's going on in the here and now. Now, again, the chances are that you don't have a clue what's actually really going on in the here and now. You're operating on what cognitive psychology calls the automatic pilot, in a way that ensures that you have enough information to enable you make it through this day, this one day at a time. That enough information is a survival mechanism. It has nothing to do with the reality of the moment. It has nothing to do with the people with whom you find yourself at the moment. It has nothing to do with what is actually going on at the moment. And most importantly, it has nothing to do with who you really are and the potential that you really are and the ability that you have to create a life that is best for you rather than simply automatically recreating the same thing every day so it feels like, in fact, you do have an everyday life. Now, all that said, if we accept, and it is a scientific fact, that today is the only day of your life today, now is the only now in your life right now, if we accept that, we have to come up with strategies to ensure that while we're here, in the here and now, we can actually experience the here and now, enjoy the here and now, and do what it takes in the here and now to create the next here and now, or indeed a string of flowing heres and nows that will bring us to what is best for us. Now, what do I mean, first of all, what is best for you? What is best for us? Well, again, most people don't know what they want in life. Now, that is a statement again of fact on the basis of all the people with whom I've worked over the last almost 30 years. There's a huge amount of research in relation to goal setting, for example, that shows that people think they know what they want on the basis of, most importantly and most destructively, comparative thinking. I want what he wants because he looks as if he's happy and content, and I don't have it. And if I have it, I'll be happy. I want what she wants. I want the holidays. I want the jewelry. I want what he wants. I want the big car. This is the stuff of ordinary, everyday, dare I say it, survival from one day to the next. I'll surround myself with stuff that makes me feel better about myself because I inherently don't feel good about myself in the first place. Now, that again is a statement of fact for the vast majority of people in this world because they are living on automatic pilot, and the automatic pilot ensures that you can't change your life, for example. Any automatic pilot will always bring you back to the same place. So try as you may to change things in your life, like, for example, lose weight or get fit or get a new job, the chances are that you'll always end up in more or less the same place, or at least it feels like more or less the same place. You think it is more or less the same place. You think that today is another day in your everyday life. False. That's false. But as I said, we do need strategies to ensure not that we navigate everyday life, because as I said at the beginning, that title of this episode, just as the concept that you have in everyday life, it's misleading. We need to come up with strategies to ensure that I can turn up to today, turn up to the here and now, and ensure that other people don't knock me off my perch. If 96% of people on this planet are what could scientifically and reasonably be described as normal, crazy people, you're going to be assailed by these, what I tend to call energy vampires, from one moment to the next during the course of the day. You may be married to an energy vampire, you may be living with one, you may well be an energy vampire yourself. What do I mean by an energy vampire? I mean somebody who is looking for other people's energy, looking for other people's attention, looking for other people's approval, so that they can the better approve of themselves. Because in the first place, because of the way we're programmed, because of the way the automatic pilot runs, we feel we need other people's approval. Now, the fact of the matter is, you don't need any approval, and you don't even need to approve of yourself. All you need to do is turn up to the here and now, and you'll know. You'll know that you are a perfect and integral part of the universe. You'll know that you have this power within. You'll know because that part of you within, what we might colloquially call your gut instinct, will inform you of these things and will inform you of what you need to do and obviously what you don't need to do, not to make it through the day in this case, but to actually live today like you mean it. And yet the world is full of madness. And we don't need to turn on the news or scroll through the news online or look at Facebook. You won't get much news there. We don't need to go and look far for evidence that the world is crazy. People are reacting all the time to each other. And of course, that's only natural for the simple reason that when we are using our minds automatically, the reaction itself is automatic. The madness of it is, of course, is that you are automatically reacting to what you think about, what you think is going on, when you're using your mind normally. In other words, we're many steps removed from being clear enough in our own minds to know what's going on and know what we need to do to ensure that we get what is best for us. And that nobody else obviously suffers as a result of our getting what is best for us, because we're all in this together, despite the fact that many people don't seem to behave in that way, which leads me back, of course, to the energy vampires. So many people over the years have said to me, "Oh, I need people to like me. It's nice to be liked. I like being liked. I need the company of others. I need the attention of others. I need to be part of my tribe. I need my group of friends. I recollect having a group conversation online during the first COVID lockdown in March, April 2020, when one of the people on that call was bemoaning the fact that they couldn't have their normal Friday evening dinner parties. And I said to the individual in question, "How important are these people to you?" And they said, "Oh, they're some of the most important people in my life." And a couple of other people on the Zoom call began to snigger just ever so slightly. I said, "Well, let me ask you a simpler question. Are any of the people that you are torn away from as a result of lockdown, would any of them be in your top 10 most important people in your life?" And they said, "No, of course not." They'd answered their own question. People like the idea that other people like them. And the sad fact is that most other people are in the same boat. They're liking to be liked as well. If you're wasting your time and energy wondering about what other people think of you, stop it. Because they're not. They're wondering about what you think of them. Everybody is removed from reality when they are energy deficient, or more to the point, when they think they are energy deficient. Why would I think I'm energy deficient? Because I grew up in a world where, for starters, and I've said this recently a couple of times, I was told I needed to get a good education to better myself. What is that actually saying to you? Now, we learned other stuff during our formative years as well that put us down, put us in a box, gave us perceived inadequacies, created for us a little prison cell that is only made up of thoughts. So when people say, "I'm stuck," they're not. They're in the prison cell created by their own thoughts. How many times have I said to people, "Will you go over to the door of that prison cell and push on it because it isn't locked?" And when you open it, you'll realize after you step out of the prison cell and look back, there was no prison cell because it's all imaginary. The feelings that we have for people who are annoying us, they're imaginary. If somebody is annoying you, it has nothing to do with the other person. It has to do what you think about the other person or what you think about what you think they are doing. And, they're not doing it deliberately because people are dead from the neck up, most people. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's a scientific fact. So I suppose one of the key things that I want to get across in this particular episode is that we need to stop reacting to what isn't there. Or more to the point, actually, we need to stop reacting, full stop. So then people will ask me, "Well, if we're talking about navigating your everyday life, how do I do that if I stop reacting?" This is an awful easy one. You'll go, "All right," the minute I say what I'm about to say. You will navigate each moment effortlessly when you start acting. It is a completely different proposition to reacting. And yet, 96% of people on this planet are in reactive mode, automatic reactive mode all of the time. So they are getting annoyed with people. They are allowing other people distress them. They're allowing other people take control of their energy so that the other people who are seizing their energy, the energy vampires, feel better about themselves, feel more important, feel noticed. I had a conversation on Zoom a couple of years ago with online program owners, and we were talking about people asking for your advice. And this particular girl was saying, "One of my friends," or at least I thought she was at the time, come back to that one. "One of my friends asked me repeatedly for my advice over the last year or two, and at every turn ignored my advice." She said, "What do I do with people like that?" I said, "Well, first of all, you need to realize that she didn't want your advice. She wanted your attention. She wanted to be noticed because probably when she looks in the mirror in the morning, she can't see herself because she's marked absent by her own programmed thoughts and the perceived inadequacies that she has about herself. People don't want your advice, they want your attention. They need to be noticed because they don't know themselves. Now, we all have fallen into that boat at some point in our lives. Most people are still in that boat. And by the way, that boat is sinking. Certainly not going anywhere. It's certainly sinking. If you want to get into the speedboat of life in the fast lane where everything flows effortlessly, you need to stop reacting. And when you stop reacting, you will start acting. Now, nobody can say to themselves, all right, today is Wednesday, the 11th of June, 2025. I'm not going to react anymore. Starting today, I'm never going to react again. You can't do that because you have years, decades, all of your adult life is created around reaction. And reaction comes in all shapes and sizes, from the little niggling annoyances to frustration at something or someone, or indeed frustration at yourself, to jealousy, fear and loathing for that matter, and anger. Let's deal with anger. Because I have a hang up about talking about anger for the simple reason that anger, more than any other emotion that you think you have, will kill you quicker than any of those other emotions. There's a load of research in relation to that because what anger, which is a severe form of stress, what anger actually is doing to your physical well-being, the flow of your energy. Anger is killing you. It'll kill you by way of a premature heart attack or hypertension, high blood pressure, or some problems with your digestive system or your immune system. Anger will kill you. And anger isn't real. Anger is you whipping yourself into a frenzy as a result of what you think is going on, or what you think of what somebody is doing to you, or more to the point, what you think they're doing to you, or what you even think about that person who isn't real, because the only reference point you have for them is what you think about them. Let's pin this one down. Somebody does something to you. Let's take a really simple example. Somebody drives out in front of you or cuts in front of you, whatever way you want to put it, in traffic, and you immediately are angry and you start shouting and screaming. Now, you might say to yourself, hold on, that's passing anger. But if you do it often enough to yourself, you'll continually suffer from heightened blood pressure, increased heart rate, and all the bad stuff that I mentioned a minute ago. And indeed, that kind of anger leads to life-changing situations in the worst possible way. I recollect having a conversation with a group of people a few years ago, the morning after two 65-year-old gentlemen, and I use the term loosely, had got into a fight in a car park in England about whose car park space it was. One of them hit the other fell, hit his head, and died. That's kind of a life-changing burst of anger, isn't it? But there's no such thing as anger. Anger is what you make of something that you think is going on. Somebody said to me recently, but surely there's such a thing as righteous anger. What if somebody is abusing me? What if somebody is constantly abusing me? What if somebody is abusing me and getting away with it? What if somebody is ruining my life? What if somebody has taken so many actions against me, as a result of which my life is in a mess? Surely there is righteous anger in something like that. Surely I am right to feel anger. And if anger isn't real, how could it be righteous? There's no such thing even as righteous anger. But when you stop reacting, there is such a thing as righteous action. Tell you a story. One particular lady that I worked with in Dublin, probably 25 years ago, one of my earlier clients was the leader of a team of people at work, and she was constantly getting angry with one of the guys who was, to use her own words, bloody useless. They're not quite her own words, but you get my drift. I said, you need to stop reacting. You need to start acting. I said, you need to stop losing your temper with this guy. Fine. She started practicing how to not react anymore. I'll come back to that in a minute. Obviously, that's what this is all about. But a couple of months later, I got a phone call from her one morning, and she said, "I didn't sleep a wink last night. I was tossing and turning over the fact that I lost my head with this guy all over again." I said, "Tell me about it." So she said, "I had told him 10 times to do something particular, and on each occasion, it's like as if I was talking to the wall. He simply didn't hear me. It didn't compute in his brain." I said, "Well, sometimes people need to be told what's what in the most forceful of terms." I said, "How did you lose your temper with him this time?" And she reflected on my question and realized that she hadn't lost her temper. She hadn't reacted. She decided that the only way in which this guy was going to get the message was if she decided to act as if she was losing her temper. A world of difference. Losing your temper is actually what it means. I'm losing it. In other words, I'm not in control. Whereas telling somebody what's what in the most forceful of ways is an action. There's a difference between reaction and action. But as I said a few minutes ago, you can't say to yourself today, "I'm never going to react anymore." Because you have a lifetime reacting from the time you were between 2 and 3 years old. It's ingrained into how you navigate your everyday life, which isn't an everyday life at all. It is ingrained into how the automatic pilot operates. And the automatic pilot isn't going to stop just because you put your hand up this morning and cried, "Halt." It's not going to happen. You have to develop your ability to act. It's the only way in which you can stop reacting. And then you don't have to have any of the strategies that I suggested that you might need earlier in this episode to navigate your everyday life. You won't need strategies because you'll be present. You'll have turned up to the here and now. You'll know what's going on instead of having some half-assed notion as to what you think might be going on. And instead of reacting to the half-assed notion, you will actually take right action. Righteous action, even. We develop our ability to act by developing our ability to simply turn up to the here and now. You see, this is so easy. Go all the way back to the start of this episode and what we said about your everyday life being a concept, an illusion. Go back to the start of this episode and consider what I said, that you live each day one day at a time. If I simply turn up one day at a time, and therefore I am present in the here and now, I have a completely different perspective on what is going on because I am actually using my five senses to immerse myself in what is going on, as a result of which, knowing what is going on, I'll take right action. I will, as surely as night follows day, stop reacting. I'll come back to that again in a moment, but let me give you a simple and practical example of the difference between so-called everyday life and somebody who has stopped reacting. On numerous occasions, this is a whole load of stories conflated into one, because on numerous occasions over the years, people have told me, they might have come to me, for example, to have 6 one-to-one sessions in relation to their leadership style at work, whatever that actually means. They might have bought the online program from a business perspective. They might have turned up to one of my open workshops over the years from the perspective of being stressed or unhappy or whatever, whatever. They will all have come for reasons other than one of the first things that they experience when they stop reacting and start actually being present. And you see, being present means being there and being there for whoever you happen to be with at that moment in time as well. So many of these people, actually without exception, all of them over the years have said to me, "One of the first things I noticed was things are easier at home." A few people said to me, "You know, my wife or husband has said, since you started talking to that fellow, Willie Horton, you're a much nicer person." because the atmosphere around you changes as a result of you being more present. Now, whether anybody is ever 100% present or not, actually, I know the answer to that. Yeah, people can be. I have been. I often am 100% present. Am I 100% present 100% of the time? Probably never. But, the percentages are very, very high indeed, because I've been practicing for 33 years. You develop your ability to be present by paying attention to your five senses in a controlled and structured environment. In other words, you sit down. You close your eyes, and for example, you listen to the sounds around you. Or you might get down on the floor, cross your legs, and feel what it's like when you breathe in and out. You might go out for a walk to simply see, feel, hear, smell, and taste what's going on around you. You might sit down and have a cup of coffee, and just have the cup of coffee for maybe 10 minutes or however long it takes for you to immerse yourself in the smell of the coffee, the taste of the coffee, the feel of the hot liquid going down your gullet into your stomach, and then the other sounds that you'll hear around you, the birds singing, the beat of your heart, the sound of your own breathing. We're talking about meditation. Now, when we put it in the context of your life today, meditation suddenly takes on a whole new meaning from the way in which meditation is generally presented and taught as something that is nice to do, something that will calm you down. Yes, surely it'll calm you down. Absolutely, it'll calm you down. And calm you down in ways that are actually very good for your well-being. We talked about heart disease earlier on. We talked about problems with your digestive and immune system. Meditation reduces the heart rate and the blood pressure and enhances the functionality of the digestive and immune systems. I could go on and on in relation to the health benefits of meditation, but I don't claim, just as I said a few weeks ago about weight loss, I don't claim here that meditation will cure all ills. I happen to know that meditation will cure most ills, but I'm not making any claims in relation to it for the simple reason I know in my life what it has done for me and my health and well-being and my ability to achieve my goals and objectives, whilst not really working much at all. I'm sitting looking out at the mountains at the moment. I know what it's done for other people in terms of their health and well-being, even from a serious illness point of view, but I make no claims. I simply say that meditation will cure most ills and certainly will stop you reacting. Why? Because when I do come to my senses and experience what is going on, whether that be the smell of the coffee or the singing of the birds or the feeling of my own breathing, when I do come to that state of mind, I'm not thinking. And once I stop thinking, I start being. And once I am, in other words, once I'm present, I start acting. I stop reacting. And I don't need a strategy to stop reacting. I may need simple little strategies to stop myself getting triggered. I'll come on to those in just a minute, actually. But when I am simply present, well, first of all is well. All is well in your world at this moment in time. You might be thinking about the past or worried about the future, but if you stop all that nonsensical neurological gymnastics, you'll realize that all is well in this moment. All is beautifully well in this moment. And yet, you'll meditate in the morning and you'll go out and some energy vampire will slap you across the face. We need to develop our own little ways of not being triggered by other people. And those could be awfully simple and they all boil down to coming back to the reality of the moment. In other words, you could take a deep breath. How many times has somebody said to you when you get annoyed, yeah, a couple of deep breaths, deep breaths, deep breaths? You could take a couple of deep breaths. You could take up your glass of water and sip it and taste the water for a minute. You could just say to yourself, I am present. And let the moment pass. And the moment will pass because moments are arising and passing all of the time. It's just that you think you have this everyday life. Live your life today. It is the only day that you have. Appreciate the joy of living your life today. Appreciate the excitement of realizing that when you do turn up to the here and now and do something that you thought you mightn't be able to do, or say something that you thought you mightn't be able to get away with saying, you'll see immediate results from your being present. And that is only the beginning of an adventure that will ensure that you always, or almost always, do the right thing in the right way at the right time and lead yourself to everything that is best for you. You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.